ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Don't listen to Spice, baby, diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine.
Yeah. Any questions? Nice.
Good evening. Yes.
Less is more.
When the riots and civil unrest went down about 4 years ago, you promised us federal funding to rebuild our community. What happened?
Well, what happened was that we all knew that was going to be big news for a while, so we all came down here, Bush, Clinton, Wilson, all of us. We got our pictures taken, told you what you wanted to hear, and we
pretty much forgot about it.
Did he just say what I think he said?
Let's see where he's going with this.
We can't get insurance down here. We can't get health insurance, fire insurance, life insurance. Why haven't you come out for Senate Bill 2720?
Well, because you haven't really contributed any money to my campaign, have you? You got any idea how much these insurance companies come up with? They pretty much depend on me to get a bill like that and bottle it up in my committee during an election. And in that way, we can kill it when you're not looking.
Fred, when you say buy the book, what book would that be?
Are you saying the Democratic Party don't care about the African-American community?
Isn't that obvious?
Hey, you got half of your kids out of work and the other half are in jail. Do you see any Democrat doing anything about it? Certainly not me. So what are you going to do, vote Republican? Come on. You're not going to vote Republican. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, come on. You can have a billion-man march. If you don't put down that malt liquor and chicken wings and get behind somebody other than a running back who stabs his wife, you're never going to get rid of somebody like me.
All right, we made history. We played almost a whole speech. I just asked a question. And as part of a winning strategy, Senator Obama might have to do more of that. He might have to say mend affirmative action. He might have to say lock up more black men. Is that okay? Maurice from Philly asked a great question. He says, peace said, what is the difference between Bill Cosby's speech and Senator Obama's? Why is everyone applauding Obama for his Father's Day speech when the Cos said the same thing a couple of years back? I think that's a fair question. I think there's a little different kind of speech that both of them use because one's a comedian, activist, and the other one's a politician. But Barack has some hard things to say that he knew white people would hear. Is that okay? Oh, on a more important note, yes, indeed, I did pump that Carter 3 album. I'll play a couple tracks from it, Lil Wayne's new album. Let's get back to the trivial stuff.
Stupid, the cops are the fools, 'cause everyone else seems to go to jail. But when it comes to jail,
this is what I like to see. Different points of view, intelligent points. Some people like the speech. Some people weigh it politically. Other people say it's good old time preaching. I'll get to that. And the evidence that KG, Kevin Garnett, is trying to channel the great Rocky Balboa. KRS-One comes to start some hysteria. Illegal business controls America. What can we get for 63 cents? Yeah, illegal business controls America. What can we get for 63 cents? Yeah, KRS-One comes to start some hysteria.
Aspirin, coffee, morphine, sugar, tobacco, got to go. Illegal business controls America.
Now for the top story tonight. Senator Barack Obama has a problem with American fathers who abandon their children.
Too many fathers are AWOL. Well, missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. We need families to raise our children. We need fathers to recognize that responsibility doesn't just end at conception. Yes, sir. That doesn't just make you a father. What makes you a man is not the ability to have a child. Any fool can have a child.
All right, but not everybody is happy with the way Senator Obama phrased things. With us now, Fox News analyst Dr. Mark Lamont Hill. So do you have a beef with him?
I do. You know, and I've defended Barack Obama, particularly from right-wing attacks. However, I still have to critique Barack Obama from the left. The fact here is that, yes, people should be responsible, whether you're black, whether you're white, no matter who you are, you should be a responsible father and or mother. However, you also have to raise critical structural and societal issues that make it difficult to be responsible. When you raise one over the other, it lets the government off the hook, it lets the state off the hook, and it also lets individuals off the hook for not challenging the government. And so I would like to see Barack have a more nuanced and balanced message.
Okay, but if he does have a more nuanced message, then the message gets lost and excuses, victimization. So if you say to a man, if you have a kid, you raise the kid, you support the kid, I don't think that there's anything left to say. If you are a man and you father a child, it is your responsibility to raise and support the child. Now, you don't have to live with the mother if it's a divorce or whatever it may be, but you've got to look out for the welfare of the kid. The government has anything to do with that.
No, absolutely, and I don't think that
that's his message.
Well, it was a little more than that. What we don't want to see, just like with Bill Cosby, we don't want to see people dismiss the lack of access to jobs, to housing, to education.
There's nothing, there's no
the prison industrial complex. Oh, there absolutely is.
Absolutely.
It's, for example, if you look at, there are just draconian child support policies that actually make it harder for people to support the child financially because of what happens when you get a job. They take off, they take arrears, they take all these things that actually make it difficult to get a living wage. I think men should support their children. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people shouldn't be responsible, but we have to be more creative in the ways that we force people to do such so that people can get a paying job and support their children.
Okay,
right now, we actually dissuade people from getting a good legal job because they take all the money out in child support, as an example.
Here's what I don't understand. In the early 60s, when America was a much more racist country than it is today, you had a much lower abandonment situation in the African-American community. You know that.
Absolutely.
Much lower.
That.
Okay, now you have 56% of black children living in a single-parent home and 70% of black children born out of wedlock. Now, this is 46 years later. Okay, so you can't blame it on slavery and deprivation and civil rights because that was much worse in the 60s when black American homes were much more stable. Mm-hmm. What you have to blame it on is the people themselves who abandon and the culture, which doesn't as it did in the 60s. In the black culture in the 60s, you tell me if I'm wrong here, you abandon your kid, you were shamed. People wouldn't talk to you. Now you're cool. You can do that. In a lot of neighborhoods. That's the difference.
I won't go so far as to say you're cool, but I think you are raising one of two critical issues. Individual responsibility. African-American people and white people need to be responsible. It should never be cool to abandon your child. No doubt about that. But we also have to look at the other end. We have to look at joblessness. We have to look at the invasion of crack, of drug economies. Because drug economies fracture families. Incarceration
but
fractures families.
But who chooses
families.
To take the drugs?
Oh, but it's not that simple. Whoever chooses just to take drugs, there are circumstances that cause people to take drugs. People medicate
what
themselves.
Circumstances?
People medicate themselves when they're having deep psychological problems because they don't have access to health care.
Tatum O'Neill does that, and she's a rich white woman.
And rich
so white, I'm supposed to give her a pass that she's not a good mom? I'm not saying she
no,
is.
No, no.
But come on.
But the difference is when rich white people make these mistakes, they have safety nets. As often, as Barack said yesterday, there's no margin of error for poor black people, so they have to be more responsible. I'm not against that. What I don't want Barack Obama to do or anyone else is to let the government off the hook.
They don't have anything to do with having children. You choose to have a child or not.
Well, you absolutely
choose.
You absolutely choose to
government doesn't have nothing to do with that.
But there are conditions in place that make it difficult to be responsible.
It isn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Use birth control.
Even the most responsible person needs to have a job in order to take care of their child. Even the most responsible person needs access to clean homes.
Look, doctor, you know how many millions of African Americans have jobs and are raising good children and are in stable relationships?
Oh, yeah, I know lots of them.
Okay,
so my best friends are African American.
Most of them.
Absolutely.
Most of them, okay? So the ones that don't, it's their fault.
If
one African American can make it, driving a cab or doing whatever he has to do, the other can too.
That is too simple a solution, and it's not just black people. I would say the same thing to poor white people who are struggling.
And he didn't make a color line, Barack.
Oh, absolutely.
Obama.
He said this is particularly prevalent
in our community, but not solely.
When he said our, he didn't mean Democrats. He meant black people.
No, I don't know. I get confused.
I know. That's why I'm here to correct you.
Okay. Now let me ask you one more thing. In a radio interview today, the person that we talked to said this was a play by Barack Obama, a cynical play,
indeed,
to win.
Huh? Of course it is. Because look what's happening right now.
So you don't believe he was sincere in saying this?
I think it's both.
He wanted votes from white people?
I think it's both. Look at what's happening right now. You and I are debating this issue.
Right.
So now you'll have conservative people who are going to say, Mark Lamont Hill's an idiot, which they always do anyway, but Mark Lamont Hill's an idiot, and conservatives are going to be defending Barack Obama against me. So now you have conservatives siding with Barack Obama. That's the very constituency that he needs most desperately.
So you think that he calculated this to get votes and not to deliver a message that would help children?
I don't think he's ignorant to the fact that all of America was listening to this message to this church on this day. This is his.
So he should have not said it?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying let's not be naive and think that he was just giving this message out of personal, you know, benevolence. He understood the political consequences, just like Bill Clinton did with the Sister Soldier remark in 1992, and just like Bill Cosby did in 2004 with his pound cake speech. They understood that there will be a ripple effect throughout the community. That's what Barack Obama wants.
Do you
think
he pandered here?
Oh, absolutely Barack Obama pandered. He pandered to middle-of-the-road conservatives
and
white people.
I don't think so. I think you said
absolutely.
The truth. Well, I think he said the truth.
I disagree, because there are spaces where Barack Obama says the truth when he's much more critical of the structures in place. There are other times where he says the truth, which panders to individual responsibility. He's a politician just like everybody else.
Not me. Good debating.
That's
with
why
you,
we
doctor,
like
as always.
When I was a young man, I thought life was all about me. How do I make it in the world? How do I become successful? How do I get the things I want? But now my life revolves around my two little girls.
Welcome back to Harvard. That's, of course, Barack Obama, the senator from Illinois, talking about the responsibility of fatherhood yesterday on Father's Day. Dominic Carter is the senior political reporter for New York One. Dominic, it's a tricky subject. I'm a white guy, so I'm sitting here interviewing you, an African-American, about a topic that technically affects the sociology of the African-American family, and yet we have to look at it in its political context because this is a speech that was just given in the middle of a political campaign. What's your overall assessment of what Barack Obama was talking about, the substance and the politics?
Well, first of all, Chris, it's nice to see you. It depends on which hat we're looking at in terms of how we assess the speech that Senator Obama delivered. One, as a political reporter, we're always cynical about everything. You surely know that, Chris. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Senator Obama, this is not the first time that he has taken on this topic. Now, one could say, look, he's trying to build on his family values credentials. One could say the campaign is hoping that this will resonate with white social conservatives that are up for grabs in the election. But here's the bottom line, Chris. He delivered a speech that black America America needs to hear. This is a big problem in the black community. It's a big problem in America in terms of fathers that are not in the household. And when you look at Senator Obama's background in terms of him being a community activist when he arrived in Chicago, you know, sometimes a person means exactly what they say. And I believe this is the case in this scenario.
Let's get a bigger bite of it, what he had to say yesterday on Father's Day in Chicago at that church.
Yes, we need fewer guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have them. Yes, we need more money for our schools and more outstanding teachers in the classroom and more after-school programs for our children. Yes, we need more jobs and more job training and more opportunity in our community. We know all that. That's why I'm running for president of the United States of America.
You know, he's really doing a pull-up-your-own-bootstraps kind of approach to the African-American community. He's saying, yes, you need more help, more opportunity, more fairness in our society, less discrimination. But in the end, you got to look out for your kids. You got to stay at home. You got to be a man, not a boy. And having sex with a woman is not being a man enough. You got to take care of that kid who's the result of it.
What's amazing about this situation, Chris, and this speech is being analyzed and folks are looking into it and so on, but as a country, we've been down this road before. Let's be honest. Senator Pat Moynihan, I was watching the last segment, his name came up. Senator Moynihan took on this topic and he was called a racist for doing so. Yeah. We've watched comedian Bill Cosby take on this issue and tell the black community that enough is enough. But here's the point. Senator Obama is someone who has tremendous goodwill in communities of color, and perhaps, Chris, he is the one that can make this case that enough is enough in terms of the single parent households in black America. Again, a problem in all America, but a huge problem in black communities around this great country of ours.
Let's dissect this thing. You know, growing up, I've heard the arguments why the African-American family faces unique stresses. First of all, going back through history, we know that when the slave families were brought over here, they were broken up. The owners of slaves, and they treated them like property, chattel. They just sold the husband here, the wife there. They didn't care what they were doing to the family. So you had that whole breakup that none of the other groups that came to America had to go through. Most people that came to America came in as families and stayed as families. The African family was broken up when it got here. The other thing was that women could get jobs as domestic servants. The men had a hard time getting jobs. And then you had the welfare system, which has always been accused of basically privileging people who were dumped, basically. And the husband stuck around the house, and there was no advantage to that in terms of the welfare system. Are those arguments still valid as to why there's a problem with men accepting their husband responsibilities and fatherly responsibilities?
Chris, some say they're still valid arguments. Others of us say that they're nothing but excuses at this point, that it's time to move forward. Yes, there's a history, but you can't continue. And I think this was the point of Senator Obama's speech. You can't continue to complain your entire life and use those reasons as an excuse for why you are not successful. Now, if this was the first time that Senator Obama had delivered this speech, perhaps I would say that there are some political motives behind it. But the fact of the matter is, he's a prominent African American. He has the credibility to deliver this speech. And I'm sure that there are many middle class African Americans that, at least, it doesn't matter if you're supporting Obama or Senator McCain, but on this issue, we'll say you go, Senator Obama, because you're telling the truth. And these are real issues, Chris. I can't begin to tell you. I have no problem admitting to you, Chris. I'm one of the kids in New York City growing up that Senator Obama was talking about in his speech. I grew up on welfare in our great country. I'm not embarrassed about it. I grew up in a fatherless household. I'm one of those kids, just like Senator Obama. But the fact of the matter is, he's right. The excuses must stop. And that's why I think if you talk to any middle-class African-American, they will say his speech was on point.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for that assessment, Dominic Carter of New York One. When we return, I'll have some...
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I'm going to let you black folks interpret that for me. While I play this hot album,
like not big in the sense of
not as hot as Lock and Load, but the Carter 3. Everywhere I go in DC, people are pumping this in their vehicles, their gas guzzling SUVs. What do you think? What did you think of Mark Lamont Hill on O'Reilly? Dominic on New York One on Hardball? Let's talk about this Obama speech on fatherhood. Is he a post-racial candidate? And is his rise now being used to mask the racial divide? Speak to him, Lil Wayne.
Yeah, to you forever, from me to you. I heard somebody say, Judge, I'ma need a suit. I'ma need a coupe, I won't need a roof. Flyer than Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I got the flow, I'm trying to see the roof. Didn't wear bulletproof, so I got shot and you can see the proof. Blind eyes can look at me and see the truth. Wonder if Stevie do, but I'ma leave it to God, not Beaver, need to you. Cause I'ma murder, why I kill over and even you. Man, I got summer hating on me cause I'm hotter than the sun. Got spring.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
And I would never fall. I'm being hated by the season, so y'all hating for no reach.
Hey, Mr. Carter,
I am him around the world and I'm back again.
Been asking me,
who's been asking about me? In case you're wondering,
Mr. Carter,
I am him around the world and I'm back again.
No opinion is the wrong one. You can defend Senator Obama or challenge that speech. Come on.
Yeah, I've been in and out the bank. Why y'all talk? It's been on the same. I flush him and watch him go down the drain quick. Two words you never hear. Wayne quit. Cause Wayne win and they lose. I call them April babies cause they fools. And when they snooze, we up. Feet up like a paraplegic. A paraplegic. A parallel park. And a red and yellow thing. Old school Atlanta Hawk. Like I'm from Kyle Park. But I'm from Holly Grove. Now all my blood screams Subu and da da do. I knew my rule. And I play it well. And I wear it well. On my Libra scale. I suck up the fuck up to leave it.
They are wrong here. Don't even care.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
I am him.
Tell me where have you been?
Around the world now I'm back.
Yeah.
Who's been asking about me? In case you're wondering, I am him.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
In case you're wondering, yeah, I'm right here in my chair with my crown and my dear Queen B as I share my time with my ear. Young Carter, go farther, go further, go harder. Is that not why we came? And if not, then why bother? Show no mercy in Marcy and Lagers. I'm far from being the that Marcy had fathered. Now my name's being mentioned with the martyrs, the Biggies and the Pox and the Marleys and the Marcuses. Garvey got me a Molotov cocktail. Flow, even if you box well, can't stop the blows. Kaboom. Rock boy in the room. The boy just came off the spoon. Also, I'm so fly, I'm on autopilot. What guys just stare at my wardrobe? I see your euros, that's right, plural. I took so much change from this rap game. It's your go.
It's my go, yeah. And I'ma go so opposite of soft author Victor Hector Camacho, man, Randy Savage. Far from average, above status. Quo, flow, so pro. I know, I ride slow. And when I pass, they say, what up, killer man? Stop bringing up my past. And next time you mention Pac, Biggie, or Jay-Z, don't forget Weezy, baby. I've been hustling.
They've been asking me.
Hustling hard.
They've been wondering why.
Yeah. And I swear to everything. When I leave the safe, it's gonna be on both feet. Never knees in the dirt. You can try me. But when I squeeze it, hurt. Fine. We lose two lives, yours and mine. Give me any amount of time. Don't let Miss Carter grieve at the funeral parlor. Dripping tears down my sleeve. Give me any amount of time. Don't let Miss Carter grieve.
You went very far and called the President of the United States a terrorist.
Absolutely, that was terrorism. He said he's going to fight terrorism by sending smart bombs into Sudan in the middle of the night. When that pharmaceutical factory was surrounded by residential districts killing innocent people. You are trying to terrorize the nations of the world with your inordinate power. Terrorize God with the floods, the tornadoes, the hailstones, and the soon-to-come earthquakes that will destroy whole cities in America. You're in trouble, America, and you can't put it on the weak. You're going to have to atone for your wickedness and your sins and come clean before God, or he will wipe this nation from the face of the earth.
June 18th, 2008. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Meet the Press. The late, great Tim Russert. Yeah, I've been making these references to Louis Armstrong. Let me read something. Rod Ginyard, you definitely appreciate this. 80th anniversary of a celebrated American recording. From 1925 to 1928, band leader and trumpeter Louis Armstrong led a recording group known as the Hot Five and Hot Seven through nearly 90 recordings. These tracks are now considered almost or among the most seminal, enduring, and influential recordings not only in jazz, but in American music. And they include Big Butter and Eggman, Hotter Than That, Strutting With Some Barbecue, Potato Head Blues, and SOL Blues. In these dozens of sides, Armstrong abandoned the traditional collective improvisation of New Orleans-style jazz and almost single-handedly transformed the music from a group art into an art form for the soloist. He left behind 2- and 4-bar breaks of earlier jazz in favor of entire choruses of improvisation. In the 1920s, Armstrong would, more than anyone else, take the role of soloist to new heights in American music. Having switched in 1925 from the cornet, I believe, to the trumpet, Armstrong set new standards for trumpeters, extending the playable range of the instrument with impressive high notes. Besides his technical mastery, what else set him apart? His big, beautiful tone, his rich imagination as a soloist, his perfect sense of time, his deep understanding of the blues, his projection and authority, and the force of his musical personality. So you will hear some Louis Armstrong underneath the powerful insight, yours and mine. Let me read your comments before I get into some of the media op-eds surrounding Senator Obama. His speech, whether he's a post-racial candidate or not. Rod Ginyard for Culver City, California says, "This Father's Day speech by Barack was not intended for black ears. It was specifically directed at white men who long to say it and hopefully will empathize with him for having done so. It was a political move and not particularly surprising. His handlers are laying very precise groundwork for him." Nick from Washington, D.C., this is the lovely Nick Rock. She says, "Why is he, Obama, trying to sound black?" Fidel from Muskegon, Michigan says, "Check out www.blackagendareport.com. Glenn Ford ripped this speech apart." Rod Ginyard continues, Culver City, California's finest. He says, "Barack's word selection, personal appearance associations, and his choice of venues for utilizing all of the above are meticulous, bordering on calculating, but the truth in his messages provides him plenty of plausible deniability for what might be construed as very calculated methods, etc." Karima from Bowie says, "Assalamu alaikum, Brother Cedric. That speech was outstanding. Barack did a little Trinity United Sunday morning preaching." Brother Aaron from Nashville, he says, "Peace, family. Brother Cedric, we must continue to focus on solutions and applied knowledge." He says, "We must be responsible for our children and expose weak-minded brothers who still look for someone to do for us what we can do for ourselves. This is an example of submitting to a falling system and feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to stop destroying those who share the truth about black people and of black people." Sitting Spook from East Orange. Sitting Spook says, It's not okay, especially since I heard the AIPAC speech. I guess a Father's Day speech is easier than a sound urban agenda. I know some brothers are carelessly not taking responsibility, but brothers really doing well economically are not abandoning their children. I think that's what he's saying. Ellie's all from Brooklyn. That speech was very pleasing and impressive to listen. His candid personality expressed his thoughts frankly and openly without hesitation. I will save this in my archive. I just wish his words are true and not misleading. Bill O'Reilly is wrong. White's baneful influence on blacks was the cause of all the misdeeds that we are examining today. Brother Dion says, Assalamu alaikum. What's or whose team is that Negro on who's speaking with O'Reilly? Whose team is he on? What happened to operational unity? Truth hurts. Let the man lead. That's Brother Dion from Los Angeles. That was Mark Lamont Hill, who I know, actually, from Temple University. He was the guest on O'Reilly. Rod Ginyar says Barack was telling the truth, but his masterful choice of words, venues, and association, like I said, left his message directly onto the ears of the white men that he needs in the general election. Maurice from Philly said the Carter III is a mixtape. The reason I said that is because he sounds like he freestyles the whole album. You are from the East, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Maurice, this Carter III album, I don't know. It's I just love Lock and Load so much that I would wish that Lil Wayne would make songs like Lock and Load. I think Lil Wayne has found his commercial avenue to success. It's his voice inflection, changing his voice, high, low range, whispering, you know, the talking like that, you know, that's the formula. That's the Lil Wayne formula. So now he's going to ride that into platinum status. But yeah, it's not really, I don't know. I like this song with Babyface. I may play that. Shane from Houston says, on Obama's speech, I heard it before. I think the nation, especially us, needs to be exposed more to the science of mating, creating and cultivating life. Just falling in love ain't doing it. Shane from Houston, H-Town. Send in more comments. Will from Durham, North Carolina. Will says, Barack is definitely pandering in that speech. He is insinuating that blacks need to be told what to do in a very preachy tone. The political process is very dirty. It sucks that we are the butt of the joke again. I'm going to read Will from Durham again. Barack is definitely pandering in that speech. He is insinuating that blacks need to be told what to do in a very preachy tone. The political process is very dirty. It sucks that we are the butt of the joke again. Okay, hold on. E from Queens, whose text messages I have been ignoring for 48 hours because he's saying things such as, it's a rap for KRS. E from Queens has just sent me a note. And when E from Queens talks, we all must listen. E from Queens, his text message says to me, he says, that song with Babyface with Lil Wayne is fire. So I'm going to put this before the floor. Is this song whackness or is this song blackness? This is Babyface and Lil Wayne. Yeah. Should I put the fire trucks on this? Babyface on Lil Wayne. And by the way, is Babyface singing this song to Tracy Edmonds? Listen to what he's saying.
Listening to Beyonce. Well, okay, I put you out on your B-Day. Hey, now if you
listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Yes. Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Kenan, the great Kenan from Chicago, Kenan from the Shy, says, peace said long time. I think the rise of Lil Wayne's career shows just how far the rap game has fallen off. Can anyone say Ultramagnetic MC? He wants to be compared to the greats, yet there is no body of work.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
We're back on Meet the Press, and with us now, the leader of the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan. Welcome.
Thank you.
On Thursday, October 16th, the second anniversary of the Million Man March, you are calling for a National Day of Atonement. You are asking African Americans to stay home from work, from school, and do what?
The Day of Atonement is a day given to the children of Israel as they were between Egypt and the Promised Land. This was a way of getting the burden of sin from them that God might continue to bless them. We believe that the children of Israel are a sign or a prototype of the 400-year suffering of blacks in America. Since we are not quite slaves and yet not quite free, we are somewhat in the same position as the children of Israel in the wilderness. And so we believe that God has asked us to atone, that he might continue to bless us, that in the next century we might be a totally free and independent people.
You said, Minister, if we can close cities down across America with a Day of Atonement, it sends a political message of never again. What does that mean?
Well, first, this is a spiritual day, but when whites of this nation wake up on that morning and they don't see their cook, or we go to the airport and we don't see the baggage carrier, or you don't hear the music, or you don't see the face of black people, then you begin to think how relevant and how important are black people to this nation. And that's the political statement that we would like to send, that we will never again accept the position of a free slave or second-class citizen.
Do you believe African Americans all across the country are going to stay home from work and going to stay home from school?
Like any holy day that is new, like Kwanzaa, for instance, it started very small, but now the whole society recognizes Kwanzaa as a legitimate holiday or holy day for our people. We declared on October 16th a holy day of atonement, and millions accepted to practice it on that day, and we believe that it will be practiced in over 100 cities in America, and it will grow from year to year.
You've also asked black athletes to refrain from playing sports on that day. It very well could be the seventh game of the Baltimore Orioles versus the Cleveland Indians. That night, it will be the San Diego Chargers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you asking the black athletes who participate in those contests not to play on that day?
The day starts the evening, a sundown of the 15th to sundown of the 16th. So I'm sure that those who are playing with the Chiefs or with the Orioles or other teams will be able to play. But that's a personal decision that each participant will have to make.
I want to show you a graphic of something you said in Denver about black men and get your reaction and ask you to talk to America about it. It is not accidental that the black male in the condition he is in, that funeral parlors in the black community are filled with young black males, that our women are in college and in business suits, while the men are in the streets, in jail, or turning homosexual. What is the state of young black men in America today, and what did you mean by that?
I think the statement is very, very clear. The black male has been called an endangered species. And if you remember, during the time of Pharaoh and the children of Israel, Pharaoh saw the multiplication of the children of Israel and felt that that multiplication threatened Pharaoh's future and the future of the Egyptians. So he planned in a conspiracy to kill the black the children of Israel males and spare the females. We see the same kind of thing in effect today. When you move jobs from the inner cities to the suburbs into foreign markets, leaving the black male, the Hispanic, and the poor white in the lurch, when there's no real job retraining that would cause our people to be able to fit in a service-oriented economy, and with the introduction of drugs and guns and the gang warfare, our young black males are in funeral parlors, they're in prisons, and they're being turned into that which God never intended, so that it leaves the female, the black female, in the lurch.
Why are they turning homosexual?
Well, I can't really answer that definitively, but I think when you warehouse black men in prisons and they have a sexual drive that is being titillated by the lyrics and by the cultural degeneracy that pervades America today, this sexual need is sometimes filled by activity that God disapproves of.
There's a study done about the District of Columbia, where we sit this morning. 50%, one half of the young black men in this city, 18 to 35, are in prison, on parole, probation, awaiting trial, or sought on an arrest warrant. Every other young black man in this city. Is that simply a matter of discrimination, or is it an absence of responsibility by those young black men?
No, I think it's part of the conspiracy of government against the black male, and also our failure to accept responsibility for our actions. Anytime government can make it easy for there to be no jobs in the inner cities, and this recent accusation of the CIA that they introduced crack into the black community, which of course is unequal sentencing. And any time you find prison as the greatest growth industry in America,
Nobody invests in prisons unless you feel that your prison is going to be filled, and not filled with whites, but filled with those of our young people who are running afoul of the law.
Two out of every three black children born in America are born to a single parent. How serious of a problem is that for the black community?
The destruction of the black family is very, very serious. You know, when you take a human being and you sell them for 300 years and you disallow marriage and you disallow husbanding and parenting, and you use a man as a stud that he can make the female pregnant, but he has no responsibility for those children. When you do that for 300 years, we are now 140 years up from slavery. The effect of that is still present with us. We have never been cleansed of what happened to us in slavery, and that's why the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my work is such an important work, because it is a work of reform and it is a work of transformation of the lives of our young people, particularly our young men.
But in the 30s and 40s and 50s, the black family was very strong. The rate of illegitimacy was quite low. And many will suggest that it was the 60s and 70s and 80s where illegitimacy went from 20% to 65% because of welfare and government programs. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in 1966, I believe, that when America went off of the gold standard, the financial doom of this nation was sealed. Now you have a floating dollar. At that time, gold was $35 an ounce. Now gold is between $320 and $350 an ounce. So what cost $1 yesterday costs $10 today. So that means that two people have to work in order for a family to survive. And once you take the mother out of the home and you have mother and father working, then you are beginning the warehousing of children, the mating of children with plastic and with things, rather than wedding children to human things that make them more humane. And this is why our young people are committing crimes never seen before in the annals of the history of the human family on our planet.
Let's talk about Lil Wayne. That was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Meet the Press with the late, great Tim Russert, October 12, 1997. Again, there were, I believe, four appearances. If someone knows, you can corroborate this. The minister was on four times. We've played two already. Got one more to go from 1998 and some other clips we've interspersed. Now, Gary Holder Winfield, the great one from New Haven, Connecticut, he says, I'm not feeling that song. And that song that he's talking about is Comfortable, featuring Babyface, Lil Wayne featuring Babyface. E from Queens has certified it as fire, which suggests that I should put the fire trucks on it. But Gary Holder Winfield says, I'm not feeling that song. Wheezy doesn't do it for me. Put the fire hoses on that. Gary Holder Winfield calling for the fire hoses rather than the fire trucks. Vic from Huntsville, Alabama, the great Vic, he says, as far as Lil Wayne goes, that's what the teens are feeling right now. I acknowledge that. I want to get down with my awareness of what the teens are rocking to. Everywhere I go in the D.C. metropolitan area, I'm hearing Lil Wayne. Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey. He says, Lil Wayne is more of a rhymer than an MC. He rhymes words and keeps creating sentences, but makes no real statement. Head, bed, dead, red. He may have copied Jay-Z, but he doesn't have the quotables or skill set. What's worse is, live, he can't make his voice sound the way he does on the mixtapes. Ooh, now that's the recipe for disaster. When your voice can't sound how it does on the mixtape. And this is why I give a great shout out to the Honorable Keith Sweat. As bad as he sounds on record, he sounds that bad in concert. There's no fall off. It's total consistent performance. The great Keith Sweat sounds exactly in person as he does on wax. Dawood from Dawood City. Yes, the Gem City, Dayton, Ohio has been renamed Dawood City. Dawood is back. Dawood, what do you feel about this Lil Wayne album? You miss me playing Comfortable, Lil Wayne featuring Babyface. Kenosha from Clinton, Mississippi. Who can argue that broken families or the absence of black men does not compromise the overall well-being of our community? However, in presenting such facts, We must remain conscious of how such facts will be used and misused by those who do not have our community's best interest at heart. Very well said, Kenosha. Cameron from Paris, New Jersey, he's back. He says, what I didn't like about Obama's speech is it put black people in the position of being criticized again. The question is, who was the speech for? He wasn't speaking in the language you use to target the audience he is purporting to target. This was to show the conservatives that he is with them. Now, okay, I'm going to put the Cedric Muhammad political strategist hat on. Man, I have so much free advice for Senator Obama. Let me just say this. I don't want to stop the debate. I want opinions from both sides. Could it be also that Senator Obama was trying to unwind the image that white people have of him in the black church? Could it be that Senator Obama was trying to unwind the Reverend Wright, Father Flager imagery, speaking to black audiences, asserting control and authority, defining the debate, lecturing us, spanking us with love in front of white people? Now, as a strategist, I think that that's a very effective move.
No, sir.
It's the great Paul Williams. Paul, how do you feel about that?
No, sir.
Senator Obama, perhaps, was trying to redefine the relationship that he has with the black community, which has been undermined in the eyes of the white moderate or white conservative by what happened with Trinity Church. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's okay for him to come to the black church as long as he's spanking us. Is that okay?
No, sir.
Send in your comments. Kenosha from Clinton, Mississippi says the minister should have given that Father's Day speech. I think it would have been more balanced. Believe that. And Brother Vernon from Columbia, Maryland is saying that your Keith Sweat comment was wrong. He's laughing out loud. Cameron is laughing out loud, too. He said, let's leave Keith Sweat out of this. You are correct, but let's leave him out of this. Oh, no, I was there. I saw the new edition, Keith Sweat. Who else was on that tour? It was somebody else. I'll be sure or something like that. That was a hot tour, and Keith Sweat was killing them. All right, let me read some more here. Oh, man, I got Ward Connolly here. I got Juan Williams. I want to see if Kenosha from Clinton, Mississippi is correct. As the sirens blare. Let me get some Louis Armstrong behind my voice here. Get my think up.
No, sir.
Let me see what's going on with the weather. I got so many articles here for you. Oh, real quick. You all wanted to know who was behind Senator Obama's speech before AIPAC. Let me read this to you real quick. Wall Street Journal, Dateline, June 16th, Monday. Obama's Middle East experts emphasize talks. Former diplomats helped the senator hone his possible agenda. In fine-tuning his foreign policy agenda, Barack Obama is turning to a core group of Middle East experts who have spent more than a decade in Democratic and Republican administrations exploring avenues to engaging Iran and Syria. Chief among them are Dennis Ross, former President Clinton's lead Mideast negotiator, James Steinberg, a deputy national security advisor under Mr. Clinton, and Daniel Kurtzer, a career diplomat who developed Mideast policy under President Bush and his father. Some of these experts, such as Mr. Ross and Steinberg, don't describe themselves as formally part of Senator Obama's campaign for president, but their involvement illustrates the increasing influence on Senator Obama's thinking of some of the Democratic Party's foreign policy veterans now that the long nominating process is over. These three men were among the principal authors of Senator Obama's speech this month on the Middle East before a pro-Israel lobbying group, according to the Obama campaign. The speech was viewed as the candidate's most expansive yet on international affairs. The U.S. Senator from Illinois pledged during the address to break from the Bush administration and explore high-level engagements with Iran and Syria in a bid to stabilize Iraq and the broader Middle East. So again, these are the names. If you want to know who was behind Senator Obama's speech before AIPAC, a speech that he's been praised and criticized for, you want to look at Dennis Ross, former President Clinton lead Middle East negotiator, James Steinberg, a deputy national security advisor under Mr. Clinton, and Daniel Kurtzer, a career diplomat who developed Mideast policy under President Bush and his father. Just wanted to hit you with that. And I can't find, I got all these articles on the weather. I don't know where I put them. Oh, well. Let me let Ward Connolly speak to you for a minute. Ward Connolly writes in the Wall Street Journal, June 13th, 2008. He says, with all my heart and for the betterment of my country, I desperately wanted to believe that Senator Barack Obama was not one of the same tired voices who peddle arguments about institutional racism. I have heard him say that America is not about black and white. I was inspired when his supporters chanted at his rally on the night of his victory in South Carolina that race doesn't matter. I thought his March 18th speech about race had the potential to become a defining moment in our endless struggle to confront and conquer this issue. I was encouraged by his perceptive acknowledgement that affirmative action breeds resentment and hostility. As millions of whites cast their votes for him in predominantly white states, I held out hope that perhaps he truly was a transformative leader. But a June 10th article in USA Today by Dwayne Wickham dashed my hopes for Mr. Obama. Mr. Wickham, who had interviewed the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, wrote that, quote, Obama believes America can keep its promise to blacks and women without dashing the hopes of working class whites. He doesn't think opportunity guarantees made to one group must come at the expense of another. Then he went on to quote Obama campaign spokeswoman Candace Tolliver. I know Candace, who said that the Senator Obama believes in a country which opportunity is available to all Americans, regardless of race, gender, or economic status. That's why he opposes these ballot initiatives, which would roll back opportunity for millions of Americans and cripple efforts to break down historic barriers to the progress of qualified women and minorities. Translation, Mr. Obama supports race preferences. As many readers will know, I am intimately involved in the effort to enact race-neutral ballot initiatives around the country, right now in Arizona, Colorado, and Nebraska. I find it difficult to understand how the senator can strongly oppose any initiatives that does precisely what he professes to believe and is consistent with the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So again, Ward Connolly, who was behind these initiatives to end affirmative action in Arizona, Colorado, and Nebraska. As of now, Senator Obama opposes these initiatives. But let's see what happens when McCain and he are trying to win the vote in Arizona, Nebraska, and Colorado. Will Senator Obama be forced to say he wants to mend affirmative action? Affirmative action like President Clinton said, but not end it. We'll see. Let me hit you all with you know what? Hold on. I'm going to go into hour number four. E from Queens has confirmed it, that I saw the NE Heartbreak Tour, New Edition, Bobby Brown, I'll Be Sure, and Key Sweat. That's what it was. Thank you, E from Queens. That NE Heartbreak Tour was the truth. I have to say it. We'll talk about the great Key Sweat and how he's able to do what Lil Wayne can't, which is provide consistency, whether in blackness or in whackness. Send me your comments, whatever you think about Senator Obama's speech. What will he have to do in order to win white moderates, white conservatives? Is there anything he can do to win their vote? Was that Father's Day speech a transparent attempt to gain their vote? Or was it Senator Obama doing what he's done before, which is speak to the black community about painful truths? Food for thought. Hour number four is the hottest show in the diaspora.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.